Now, downsizing. It is a tricky thing to do, especially when you've collected a lifetime of memories. My sisters and I are currently helping Mum to pack up her place so that she can move in with one of us. And it is literally taking us weeks to go through all of her stuff with her and choose what she wants to keep and what she wants to get rid of. So I thought I would ask a professional organiser. Susanna Tiber is the owner of Less Mess. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Laura.
Where is the best place to begin when you want to downsize?
Anywhere. I think people overthink where they want to start and they do too much thinking and not enough doing. So if you need to do the whole place, just start anywhere. Start small. Start with a small project and start now rather than overthinking it.
I'm a procrastinator, so that often tends to be a real problem.
And easy. Pick something that is, that's not going to be too hard to get into the swing of things and realize, oh, this is possible.
Okay, so once you start seeing change and things actually moving, you realize you can actually do it.
Yes, that's the idea.
How do you manage sorting through an entire lifetime of things, though? It can often be overwhelming.
Well, in your intro, you said it's been taking us weeks, but it's taken your mum 60, 70, 80 years to accumulate
to collect it all.
So the expectation to say, well, it takes us 80 years to get to there, and then it takes us 2 days to get out of there, that's kind of, it's just changing your expectation. It is a very time-consuming process. And you can make it quicker, but it does not necessarily sit right. So if you're doing it with your mum and she needs to make the decisions item by item, it's time-consuming.
It's really funny because it's not an easy thing to do to convince a parent or a grandparent that something isn't worth keeping. How do you go about doing that? My biggest problem hasn't been mum, it's been my eldest sister because she's more sentimental than mum is in that regard.
Well, people hang on to items for various reasons. Some people hang on to it because it was once very expensive, but if you don't let it go, it's still going to be expensive. So if you're having a 4-bedroom house and it's filled with stuff of once expensive items, you're actually paying for that in some form or another. You pay a lot in Sydney. You either have a mortgage or renting. So that's actually something to visualize and say, it's still going to cost me money. Am I prepared to do that? And it's going to cost you headspace and mental health if the overwhelm gets into your head and you kind of wake up in the morning and every morning you say, oh my God, I have to do this. I have to do this. It's all stuff related. You're actually stuffing up your life. So it might be worth making that decision and say, yes, it was once very expensive, but it doesn't serve a purpose and I don't want to invest any more into this item. And when it comes to sentimental value, the question really to ask is, do you really love it? We keep a lot of negative sentimental value items. Like I burn divorce papers with clients because that's very cathartic and good fun.
They often keep them?
I've had, yes. And there is legal reasons around it, but not 20 years.
Right.
Yes, with paperwork, be on top of what the necessities actually are. How long do you have to keep tax records? Ask your accountant. So that's kind of helpful to then say, everything from before 2015 can actually go in the bin. And that could be reasonably quick to actually do that. And sentimental value items, see yourself as a museum curator. If you keep everything, nothing is important. So if your sister wants to keep absolutely everything, she actually doesn't value it. You would value a single item much more than if you have the abundance. And also, if you keep everything, you have to think of the next generation. If there is so much from grandmas, they don't know the stories behind it.
No.
Because it's an overwhelm. If you keep a couple of really good items and take the time to sit with your mother and say, what's the story behind it? Write it in the back of the photo. That will enhance the value to generations to come rather than this vast thing where your sister might be happy and able to keep it, the next generation will just hire a skip.
Yeah.
Because it's not curated.
That's
so you
really
are
good
the
point.
Museum curator of your own sentimental value.
Susanna Tiber is with me. She's the owner of Less Mess and a professional organiser. So who else to ask when it comes to downsizing? I'd love to hear from you on this. What have you been your experiences with downsizing? Have you had to do it with a parent or grandparent or perhaps after they've gone? How hard is it? What's the hardest thing you've had to let go of? Let me know, 1300 222 702, or you can send in a text on 0467 922 702. So when it comes to things like newspaper articles, letters, birthday cards, personalised things like that, what's your advice there? Because my niece, her philosophy is let's take a photo of it and throw it out.
Yes, that's a good idea. And then do a photo album with it. So that's taking up less space. You do actually then have to do something with it, because just because you're tossing out the physical item, if you're cluttering your computer with photos of photos of photos and never do anything with it, not even sorting them, the mental clutter is the same. There's no different to what an actual birthday card does to your headspace to the photo of a birthday card. Because if you open your computer in the morning, oh, I have to sort all these photos, it's the same mental load as I have to actually sort the physical cards. So the action behind it, clutter is delayed decisions. That's what clutter is.
Yeah.
As soon as you make a decision and you're intent on keeping it, it moves from being clutter, something you value and love.
Really good point. What are some of the mental obstacles you do face when it comes to making a decision on things that you need to throw away?
Procrastination, as you said.
Yeah.
Overload. It's kind of just too much. So what we do is we break it down into smaller projects. It's kind of, there's nothing wrong with doing the second drawer in the kitchen or one box of sentimental value items. To start there, to realize this is possible. And sometimes it helps to have people actually talk through the memory they have with that item. And then realizing, well, you've actually told the same story over and over again. So there's lots of momentous related to that part of your life. So maybe we can curate it down to less. And sometimes it just helps to one last time to talk, to tell this story, and then you let go of the item. Photos, yes, but you have to do something with them, not just store them on your photo, on your phone, and then buy a new phone if it's full.
Yeah,
people do.
People do that. I've got Julie from Cremorne on the line, and I'm very fortunate. I've got mum with me and we're going through things together. But Julie, you lost your mum and you had to go through her stuff, which is an awful thing to have to do.
Yes, it was terrible. She was only 77 and she died of flu. She was the youngest of 10. There's no way I expected her to go. But anyway...
Sorry
I was
about that.
Sort of in it. Yeah. Thank you. This is 23 years ago. I'm still getting
it's
used to it.
Always there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You always love your mother, and however long she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So make the most of yours while you have her.
So,
anyway, after Mum died, I was flapping. I couldn't do anything. And my husband said, right, we're going to start three piles. There'll be one to keep, one for the Red Cross and one for the tip.
Mm-hmm.
And so that enabled me to get started.
And once you started, was it easier?
Yes, especially as I had my husband there for second opinion.
Did you find it difficult to let go of some things?
Not really, because I knew that the Red Cross stuff would go to someone who needed it. And the tip stuff was probably not going to be of value to anybody. My only regret is that she had a pair of gumboots in the cupboard and she had $100 in the toe of the gumboot in case she ran out of money.
Yeah.
And I think I took those to the Red Cross, but then I thought, well, that's gone to someone who needed it.
Exactly, exactly. You know what, Julie? My dad passed away 18 years ago, and about a couple of months later, we were cleaning out there's an old air conditioner, one of those old-fashioned air conditioners that sit in the middle of the room, and there was a section you used to put ice into so it could cool it down, and we found jewels in there. Dad was a jeweller. And we found like gems, precious gemstones in there. So ever since, anytime we've come across something of Dad's, we've gone right through it to make sure he hasn't left anything precious in there.
Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah. Julie, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Love the program. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Susanna, it's not an easy thing to do to go through stuff after a parent has gone. I'm really enjoying the process because I get to go through these things with mum, and those stories do get to be passed on. It's an important thing to do, right?
I think so, yes. But not everyone has the chance. Mm. And then a lot of people are actually quite rushed because you want to, you need to, or you want to get the real estate on the market. So in an ideal situation, you would kind of leave it for 2 years and just say, you know, make it safe, take the food out of the fridge, and then do your grieving first before you tackle the clutter. Because doing it simultaneously, it can be just too much, but not everyone has that chance. But, and then again, I think hiring someone coming from the outside, which just has I have no attachment to any of these items. I don't know your mum's story. I don't know the intricacies of sibling rival, because that's coming on top of everything very often, is kind of who is what, and there's a daughter-in-law, and there's this whole family dynamic. If you come from the outside, you just push through with a lot more systematic and practical attitude, and yes, dealing and allowing for feelings, because they are there and they need to come out, but you just kind of have someone project leading that. And I find that is mostly very helpful, because the family itself is just too deep into it.
Yeah, that's so true. Having someone who's neutral who can help out. How cathartic a process is it, though, to clear things out that have become clutter?
Yes. Well, that's one of the things why I say you should start small and you should start easy, because just doing a very small and a very easy project should give you the endorphins and the realization and the experience of, oh, this feels fucking great. Yeah. This is just, I'm so much lighter. I can find things. I'm having people over. I'm enjoying life. It can be something very, very small that makes, and then you say, hey, if this made such a difference, I'll tackle something bigger, it will make even a bigger difference. And I hear stories from customers who they let go of stuff and then they get a new job in, or a new contract, or something that's completely unrelated to stuff comes into their life because they now actually have time to process and do that. So people's demeanor and people's way they carry themselves changes once the burden is gone.
You're listening to Afternoons on ABC Radio right across New South Wales, and Susanna Tiber is with me, the owner of Less Mess. We're talking about downsizing. If you have any questions for Susanna, get in touch now, 1300 222 702, or text in on 0467 922 702. I've got a question here from a caller who wishes to remain anonymous. It's quite a heartbreaking story. He lost his child 30 years ago at the age of 7 and is now selling his home. He doesn't know how to get rid of his child's things. What's your advice there?
Coming back to what I said 10 minutes ago, curate it. If you keep everything, nothing is important. Make photos, yes. Keep items, yes. Put them into a shadow box, frame them, put them on the wall, do the really, really special things, and store them rightly, because that's a long time. If you haven't done the right thing by paintings, pictures, they actually start going without you wanting them to go. So go through it, pick the favorite ones, and make sure you, there's nothing wrong with, like, especially in that circumstance, to have a little gallery or a little museum dedicated to that loved child. But you need to curate and you have to look after these items. I see a lot of people claiming this is a collection and it's in the garage in a sad looking cardboard box with cockroach poo on top. That's not a collection.
No, exactly. I've got Susan from the Oaks on the line. Hi there, Susan.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you about when I had to clean out my mum and dad's house. I'm the only daughter, and mum and dad live on a rural property, so I was left everything in the house, and my brothers were left everything in the sheds. And they had 8 grandchildren who were very close to them. Mm. So I didn't have to rush, which was a very good thing. But I decided to get a fancy box from the discount shop for each of the grandchildren. And then as I was cleaning things up, I'd give them all one of Dad's special hats that he bought. And they all thought that was funny. Then there'd be one of Mum's aprons, one of her cups and saucers, and other different things that I knew that they would enjoy. And then I did it up with a special sign on the top to say, these are treasures of your grandparents' life and you should treasure them too. And they've each loved them, and every now and again they get their box of Grandma and Granddad out and have a look and remember great stories about them.
I love that. That's great.
Mm. That's exactly that. That's the curating.
Yeah.
It's eight boxes of curated museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fabulous.
What a great idea, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
All the best.
Enjoy the program.
Thank you. Susan there at the Oaks, that's a really, really good idea. It's a wonderful way to treasure that.
And it's limiting to the box.
Yeah.
It's not every grandchild gets a container full,
yeah,
which is overwhelming, but it is one of each and the special. And these boxes, I imagine they're not bigger than A3. That is exactly, you're limiting the volume because you don't want to overwhelm these grandkids. Mm. They should open the lid and say, oh, wow, rather than, oh, my God. You don't want that.
Yeah. On the text line 0467 922 702, Phil has simplified it to say, if in doubt, chuck it out. What do you make of that?
Yes, if you can. A lot of people can't. A lot of people do, if in doubt, I'll keep it, because then I have a chance to come across it again and make another decision. I do that. If in doubt, chuck it out. There's also other things, which is not necessarily related to downsizing, but a little bit. You can make your own rules around it, but just an example, you could say to yourself, if I can replace it in 1 hour for less than $20, I can chuck it out.
Yeah.
So, but some people have lots of money and lots of time. No, no one has lots of time and lots of money. So the variation is kind of, you could say, if you don't have a lot of money, you say it has to be 2 hours and $5. Or you have lots of money, you say, well, I'm really prepared to not spend more than half an hour, but I'm prepared to pay $30. If you can replace it, that also can be, because it's very structured and it's kind of this, oh, yeah, now I can actually buy this again. There's a little bit of sustainability and that going into this. We shouldn't chuck too much. That too is part of the answer. Like, if in doubt, chuck it out.
Yeah.
Is that actually doing our environment a favor, or can you find another way? But then chucking does not necessarily need to be the bin. It could also be the recycling, and it could also actually be the charity, the Red Cross we mentioned before.
To someone who might need it.
Yeah.
Catherine has a question. How do you deal with the family heirlooms that are a generation old? She says, same as how do I divide up my jewellery to my children equally? I've done the clean out twice and have another one to do. I've started downsizing now at the age of 57. So she's planning ahead, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with family heirlooms?
Well, something like jewellery that doesn't take up a lot of space, that's actually the easier heirloom than a wardrobe that doesn't really work anymore, or a chest of drawers where the knobs are missing. And I see these as family heirlooms too. And the whole family knows it was really special to grandma, but actually no one wants it, or no one has the space. So limit the volume. So the boxes we had before, it's better to keep family heirloom photos or jewellery, money, than pieces of furniture, whole homes, cars. I've had that too. They are really hard to pass on. And possibly talk to the people you want to give it to, because everyone is different. Some grandkids love inheriting and others don't care. So really take that into account, because once you've curated and giving it to them, it's actually theirs. So if they then say, you know what, I'm going to pare it even down more, you have to be okay with that, because you've given it. It's out of your hands.
Yeah. Jackie says, you can only do what you can. And this is an interesting thing. She says, the time when clearing the family museum after a passing of a parent, I'm more sentimental than my sister. So I held on to my mother's broken sewing basket and ended up throwing it out 2 years later. I couldn't put it in the bin at the time. I suppose it's also a matter of letting go when you're ready.
Yes, that's what I said before. And yeah. one lady who rang in said she had the luxury of having the whole estate sitting there on the rural property and having the time. You need the time, and you also have to have done some sort of grieving. So I completely understand. I do things where we basically put everything in storage, empty the house so it can go on the market or be rented out. And then, yes, it does cost money, and it might not make sense, but then 2 years later, when the whole, you don't want to declutter before you go to the funeral. So you just take it out bit by bit and then go from a big storage to a smaller one and eventually possibly to nothing and feed it into your own household. But there's definitely something to be said for just store it till your headspace is there to be able to make these decisions. Because if you do them too quickly, people tend to hang on to a lot. Yeah. And then they don't have this pressing, I should really do this again. So, but if you do pay for storage, for example, and you give yourself a 2-year limit, you will then, and you will let go of more, and it will be easier because some of the stuff you would have forgotten by then. And that's a good pointer to let yeah. it go.
Susanna Tieber is with me, the owner of Less Mess and a professional organiser. Peter from Bayview is on the phone here. You've come up with a clever method. What have you
yeah,
been doing?
Yeah, look, I'm so proud of this. I worked on the principle that all my brothers and sisters had all their stuff, and the people who needed it was the grandkids. So I photographed absolutely everything, and then I took it down to the shop and had like 20 copies, let's say about 20 nephews and nieces, 20 copies of each of them, which really wasn't a very expensive procedure. I sent little packets, a complete set of packets of photos to everybody. They had 2 weeks to write their name on the back of the photo and return it to my brother.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to stay at arm's length from the whole procedure. And then all the photos that were returned with names on the back went. They had Saturday morning, they had a ballot. say five people wanted the dining setting, then that went into a bucket, and then it was pulled out, and whatever was won, and the whole lot was done in one operation. And
no family arguments.
Not one argument, not one. It was so smooth.
That's great. I love it, Peter. What a great idea. What do you think?
Never heard of that. That is a fantastic idea. We do walkthroughs with the Zoom and kind of point it out, but kind of auctioning it off. I love that idea. Get a bit of competition into it.
The ballot. I like that. That's great. Thank you, Peter, for sharing that. Some people might use that one. Bye. Peter from Bayview there. So there are so many different ways and tips and tricks and, as you said at the very beginning, just start somewhere in the home. Don't try and tackle everything at once and you know, pick a particular spot and just dig in, right?
Mm. And do it early. I kind of, like the one lady who said, did you say 57 or something?
Yeah.
There's a book out there that's called The Swedish Method of Death Cleaning. And she actually says that it kind of, You do have to, because you don't want to burden the next generation with it, and start early to kind of go through your things. And because with distance, go through the memorabilia, go through the primary school paintings when you still can and your kids are at uni, because you have a little bit of a distance of time and you might actually pare it down to less and less and less, because you really don't want to burden anyone with a 4-bedroom house and the content inside. It's a very time-consuming exercise.
I've got a question here from Sean in Randwick before we wrap it up. He says, my dad passed away a year ago in South Africa. My brother and I are now trying to help mum declutter and pack her memories from Sydney and London, and they're finding it very difficult. Travel restrictions don't allow us to travel, and most of mum's friends are also elderly, and assisting her would be difficult for them too. Any advice for doing it from afar? Maybe we could just put it all into storage until we're able to travel, he's asking.
Hire a professional organiser.
Yeah?
Yep. They are all over the world. There is an association, I think, in South Africa, because they are the pros. And they would know where is the charity to take it, where is the auction house that makes the most of that piece of furniture. So because they are local, they would know that. That would be really, really hard from afar. It's possible, but I'd say you kind of get, yeah, You get more for your time, and if the selling is done right, you actually might get some money back too.
Well, Susanna, some really interesting tips there for us. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Thank you for having me.
And, it'll hopefully help me with helping with mum's stuff at the moment. That is Susanna Teeba there, the owner of Less Mess, talking downsizing and decluttering, which has been a nightmare for so many people throughout the years.